The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, with the wave, here live at Circa. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Well, you know, the dream is dead, but
It was what it was.
It was. Listen, it was what it was.
And we're done.
I appreciate all sending me their best, but again, it was always, wow, they're going to make the playoffs. Wow, at the most, they can win one game. And then when they beat Detroit, we're talking about the Washington Commodores. 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl, your brain does toggle to, wait a minute,
yeah,
they go to the Super Bowl. But as soon as you don't, you're like, hey, this was the greatest thing ever.
Wait, that's how you're feeling today?
100%.
I was wondering about you because we talked about that all last week 100%. Of like, oh man, the dream kind of just became a little bit more real. And it was like, I don't know if this was more of a disappointing letdown that, you know, than you thought it was going to be.
I said it with Theismann on last week. I said the same thing. It's like your brain sort of toggles because you get so close to it. Your brain does toggle into, wait a minute, this could happen.
As it should, I think.
But as it should. But you don't, I mean, that, what a ride, what a season. What a future, $90 million in cap space with Jaden Daniels as your quarterback on a rookie deal. Now, you can't ask for more than that.
Can I start with a quick, are you sure or are we sure?
Yes.
Are we sure Jaden Daniels isn't the best quarterback in the NFC?
Oh, no, he's absolutely the best quarterback in the NFC. I thought I was waiting for what was coming after the F. I was going to be like, yeah, we're sure about that. He's probably the fifth best, right? Because you gotta go Mahomes and Allen and Jackson, and who am I forgetting? Burrow. And then I think it's Daniels.
And then I think he's in the conversation after that. It is incredible. What a year.
Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles, who are headed to Super Bowl 59, a rematch of their Super Bowl from 2 years ago. Super Bowl 59, or as Gronk says in that one commercial, Super Bowl licks. That's in New Orleans in 13 days. We've got 13 days to go through it all every which way. Remember that Super Bowl, the Chiefs won by 3 points amid some controversy per some Eagles fans. Let's go through these games yesterday one by one. By the way, the Chiefs 1.5 point favorites installed. You can't make a bet until it's installed. Installed is 1.5 point favorites in Super Bowl 59. We begin with the NFC. What are you smiling at?
I got an ESPN notification on my phone last night where it said Chiefs installed. Is 1.5 point favorites.
You got to install. It's an installation. How do you think you guys bet on this stuff? It's an installation. That's how it happens. We begin with the NFC Championship yesterday.
Yeah,
we'll start there.
Sure.
Because it's not your traditional guessing lines. Philadelphia 55, Washington 23. In a game that in one respect wasn't that big, in another respect was that big of a margin, figuratively speaking. 55-23, congratulations to the Eagles. And let me just say this up top for Eagles fans. You're going to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. Jalen Hurts, Tony Sirianni, and the Eagles going to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. Lamar Jackson has never been to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen has never been to a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow's been to a Super Bowl once. You're going twice in 3 years. So shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles, who, and I've been a critic of Sirianni through time. Not so much of Hurts, but of Sirianni for sure. Good on them. Good on them, and they deserve it here. This game yesterday starts after Washington gets the ball first. After 2 third-down conversions, 4th and 5 at the Philly 43 to Ertz for 7. Then 4th and 2 at the Philly 28, Jaden for 5. Then 4th and 3 at the Philadelphia 24. Dan Quinn says, let's just kick the field goal. Zane Gonzalez, 34-yard field goal, 3-0 Washington. On an 18-play drive, 7:57 left in the first quarter, the drive took over 7 minutes. 18 plays. Were you surprised that after the 2 fourth-down conversions, he decided, let's just kick the field goal here?
Gil, surprised? I don't know after the full 2 games if anything was more shocking from a head coaching standpoint than that call to me.
Yeah.
Like, what? You were going for it on fourth downs before in the drive, and you stopped right there? You're like the best fourth-down team of all time, and you settled for a field goal there?
It was a little odd.
I was shocked.
It was a little odd.
It felt like the big moment had gotten there. It's like, oh, let's just take the points.
It was a little odd. I would imagine his thinking that made him do that was, if we end up with 0 after 18 plays, that's not something I want to be a part of, which would not have been the correct thinking, but I think that's what overrode it.
No,
for
I think you're right. Yeah. And I think that's, it's the big stage, right? You can't possibly have a drive like this in the NFC Championship and come away with 0 points.
So 18 plays that took over 7 minutes. Washington gets 3 points. You know what Philadelphia does? How about one play that takes 18 seconds that gets them seven? Saquon, 59 yards to the hizzy, when both Chin and Martin just completely whiff on him. Can't get him on the ground. 7-3 Philly, 18 seconds later. Washington first to their own 39 to Diami for six, punched out by Zach Bond. A portent of things to come. Recovered by Reed Blankenship. And Philadelphia cashed in on all Washington turnovers. Washington would end up -4 in turnovers, particularly the first three of those, leading to 21 Philadelphia points. The fourth one did technically, but that was a full field anyway. So punched out by Zach Bond, recovered by Reed Blankenship. Philly set up at the Washington 48. First and 10 at the Washington 38 to Devontae for 20. He may or may not have been out of bounds with his second foot. Skins don't challenge it. Should have. Not sure it would have succeeded, yeah, but should have challenged it. Three plays later, Saquon in from 14-3 Philly, 3:43 left in the first quarter. After a Washington three and out, they're in punt formation. Tress Way, fake! 4th and 6 from their own 31. Hits Ben Sinnott from Kansas State for 23. Leads to Gonzalez, 46-yard field goal, 14-6 Philly, early second quarter. Then Philadelphia, 3rd and 1 at the Washington 32. It's your first Tuchus push of the day. Hurts for 1. I wasn't sure he got it, by the way. There was no replay to show that he did. Have to settle, though, for an Elliott 54-yard field goal try after Luvu times his blitz perfectly and sacks Hurts. No good wide right. Here come the Skins, down 1 score. One possession. Washington, 5 plays, 56 yards, only took 144. Daniels to the incomparable Terry McLaurin for 36. 2-point try fails. It's 14-12 Eagles. 7:05 left in the second quarter, but then Philly marches right back. 12 plays, 72 yards, 5:21 off the clock. 3rd and 1 at their own 37. Another Tuchus push. Hurts for 1. Again, I guess. 4th and 5 at the Washington 45. Saquon completely holds Luvu. No call to Brown for 31 at the 2-minute warning. Eventually, P.I. called on Lattimore in the end zone. That was a correct call. Hurts in from 120-12 with 137 left, and then Lattimore gets into it with A.J. Brown, and only Lattimore gets flagged for the unsportsmanlike. I'm like, really? Yeah, only he got flagged? So they get the ball at the 1, and now they decide, well, we'll just Tuchus push this in here. They don't get it. They don't get it.
Is that that's also when the 7 alternate refs made an appearance. Did you catch that line?
Oh, no, I did not.
I learned so much about the NFL. Oh, I love these playoff weekends where I learned so much about the league. But there's 7 alternate refs standing on the sideline.
It's 20-12 now, Philly. Washington suing kickoff. And again, here's where it's just like, if you're a Washington fan or a Washington backer, you're like, this isn't going to be our day. Jeremy McNichols fumbles. Gainwell recovers. So Philadelphia, at the end of the half, instead of being up 20-12 at best, only gets the ball at the Washington 24 with 136 left. Second play, Hurts. Would be touchdown run called back by a hold, but on third, Sanra still is called for a hit out of bounds on Saquon, which is the correct call, but man, was Sanra still in a tough position there. Because you always think Saquon's going to try to smash into you, but he takes a step to the right, and then you hit him and he gets flagged. Yeah. It's a correct call, though. Leads to Hurts to Brown, 4-yard touchdown pass, 27-12 Philly with 39 seconds left in the second quarter. So a double dip chance for Philly, but Washington takes over at their own 30. 4 plays that led to a Gonzalez 42-yard field goal. Jaden for 19 was the big one. Also included an encroachment on Jalen Carter, who just poked Beatis in the eye. So it was 27-15 at the half. So if you're a Washington fan or backer, you're a little more happy with it because of that field goal. But by the way, the encroachment on Jalen Carter, once you encroach, you can just do whatever you want to the offensive lineman. I'm going to poke you in the eye. Let's see. You know, and the refs don't call it. You're like, okay, so just 5 yards for that? 27-15 Eagles at the half after a couple 3-and-outs to start the second. Philadelphia, 4 plays, 58 yards, took 149. Hurts to Goddard for 26, the big chunk. Hurts in from 9 on the next play. 34-15 Eagles. At this point, you're like, okay, let's see. Is this game over? It is not. Because Washington then goes 8 plays, 70 yards. Daniels in from 10. 2-point try to Zacchaeus. Good. It's 34-23 Philly. 5:01 left in the third quarter. And then, by the way, 2 linemen were downfield on that 2-point conversion. Uncalled. Replay can take it off, but not add it, apparently. Add that to your what did you learn about the NFL. Replay can take it off, but cannot add it. Philadelphia with the ball up 11. Luvu breaks up a handoff, forces Philly to punt. So Washington down 11 with the ball at their own 49. I mean, this is on at this point still. But here's the play that I think swung it for good. First and 10 at their own 49, Jaden to Eckler, hit by Oren Brooks, fumbles recovered by Bond. Now, I have a lot of Washington, you know, friend fans who are like, ah, if we just didn't have those turnovers, man, this would have been a great game. Yeah, but you got to give the Eagles credit for these turnovers. These weren't unforced errors. In fact, that one by Oren Burks on Eckler might have been the best of it all. Eckler's got the ball. He's untouched on the ground. So as he's getting up and as he's using his strength to get up, right at that moment where the human body is using the strength to get up, but your ball security is going to be just minimized a little bit, poke right at that very second. Beautiful play. So Philly immediately capitalizes. Five plays, 51 yards, set up at their own 49. Third play, Barkley, 21-yard run that sets up Philly at the Washington 1. After Washington called for offside, Hurts collects the snap but is stopped. Second down, Luvu, Superman style, soars offside not once but twice. And Sean Hockley warns everybody that they can get an unsportsmanlike if they do it again. Luvu's like smiling at this point. Third time encroachment on Jonathan Allen, unrelated. Hockley now says to the audience, he can give Philadelphia a touchdown if it happens again. By the way, the referee awards a touchdown.
What?
The referee awards a touchdown to a team that has been denied one by a palpably unfair act, unquote.
And Pereira warned before they came out and said that, right?
I just want to ask this for gambling purposes, and we'll continue this after the break. But for gambling purposes, I just want to ask, because there's any time touchdown stuff, if that were to happen, if Sean Hockley were to have awarded a touchdown to the Philadelphia Eagles without a play, right? Does in the box score, what happens there? Does Hurts get the touchdown? Does the center get the touchdown? Or does the team just get some nebulous touchdown?
Probably that one, but yeah.
I have no idea. I'd love to know the answer to it.
And are we going
to
start adding that for anytime touchdown for the Super Bowl?
What are the odds on that? By the way, though, this was a game until that Eckler fumble, and that's when things turned. Coming back.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN fans, you are in luck. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens is offering you 15% off at three incredible properties: Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel, and Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSiN15. That's VSiN15. Book your 2025 stay now at CircaLasVegas.com and use VSiN15 to get 15% off. That makes sense. Your Vegas adventure starts here. Skill Alexander, usually we have this gentleman on for Football Fridays. We've cleverly called it Fezzik Fridays, but he's here with us on a Monday because we kind of shortchanged him on Friday. It was a whole thing. But he's kind enough to join us here after the championship games. Just under 2 weeks before Super Bowl 59, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. Hello. I'll introduce you as the only back-to-back winner. You're the only two-time winner, I should say.
Yes.
The only two-time winner. Just happened to be back-to-back.
Second in the Westgate season win contest. Kelly keeps asking me how I did.
Oh, you finished second. What did you end up? We met the winners. The winners came by.
Really?
Yes. What did you finish?
24-8, and I had the Chiefs to win 13 games. So I had the tiebreaker in my back pocket, and I'm like, no one's ever gone 25-7 in this contest. I'm good.
Why doesn't the Westgate promote that more? That's a great contest. The 32 season win totals, and then what's the prize? 25K?
Yeah, it was like 25.
25K.
Yeah, yes.
you're like, 25K.
They do a good job. They have like an NBA season win contest. Yeah. They have an MLB season win contest. The Westgate has fantastic contests, but like the original Star Trek series, the TV series.
Uh-huh.
They're like, it's like the Federation's taken over. The circus taken over. Yeah. You're lucky to get a piece of the action with the circus, the episode's piece of the action.
That's why I refer to them as the granddaddy of them all. Because that gives them their niche still and gives them props. And
I'd rather win millions once.
No, I understand.
Or Survivor.
I understand. By the way, we're going to get to football here. I wasn't going to start with this, but you're kind enough to join me for the Vegas Lifestyle podcast this week. The 14th annual Beating the Book Vegas Lifestyle podcast. It is the only non-sports specific podcast that we do on the Beating the Book feed. And Mark, you're doing it with Mark Meltzer, like Seltzer. We'll see if Crack wants to come on too. But he just sent me something just sort of to whet my appetite for this year's show. Reserved seating for Caesars Palace Sportsbook for the first day of March Madness. So the first Thursday of March Madness.
Sounds like $125.
Oh, does it?
Uh-oh.
You are low, sir. All right, the full day, there's a full day, there's an early session, and there's a late session. What did you just guess?
125. That's just get a seat, right? That's not food. That's
adorable. A full day starts at $850. Early session, I don't know why I went early. I don't know what happened to my voice there. Early session starts at $550. The late session starts at $650.
I'm old enough to remember where you just stumble. You'd be out having played blackjack all night. You'd stumble over at like 6 a.m. and you just put reserved for Steve. And you just put like a little piece of paper down. And then I'd stumble back 4 hours later. I'd walk up. Someone would be in the seat. I said, that's my seat.
He said, Friday is the same. Remember, that's just for Thursday. That's not the weekend. That's just for Thursday. He said, Friday is the same. The weekend is a little cheaper. Those are fewer games.
Iconic Caesar's Palace has a great sports book. We've hung out there numerous times. You know what? Hang out during the NBA playoffs there. Don't pay $825. Come on.
Oh, man. And I remember the days. Oh, the days of yore when you could just show up, right? Like you're saying. Oh, boy. But we say that for pool parties, too, right? Like, we were kids.
Well, to give Westgate their credit, I think they've got a big, like, I don't know if they charge for it, but they've got a, they open up one of their showrooms, right? So that would be a better option. And South Point does a great job. And I'm sure, you know, that would be a good option for you.
I don't mean to be flippant about this, but what I just read, that is shocking. Like, that is, again, for a town that, you know, we think of these day parties, these pool parties. We used to go down to the pool early Saturday morning. If I was the first one to find a lounge chair, this is a Hard Rock rehab. If I was the first one to find a chair, I'd throw a towel on it. That's my chair for the rest of the day.
I just beat you to the chair. I sure hope there's never like a devastating hurricane that comes inland to Vegas. And like, can you imagine the gouging of the water and everything else? And the plywood, how much they're going to charge you for it?
Anyway, let's get back to yesterday. I was making fun of you the whole second half of this game yesterday because you were calling it one of the greatest games of all time. I'm like, okay, easy.
I said it had the potential
to have the potential.
The Cook run on the when he's blasted by
a great
the second
play.
Dude and like freeze it. There's no way he's scoring.
That's amazing.
They defied that. You see his hand and his elbows go down and just like it's bionic. And the arm goes back. It goes down and then the arm goes back up. And he never touches his forearm.
Well, because he got a grazing hit from Justin Reed, which didn't knock him off, but that was one hit. And then he got a solid hit in the back. I want to say it was Bolton. What did I say earlier?
And we've all seen these hits numerous times, and the dude does not score. The physics says your body can't go forward when you take that second hit. Yeah. So that was an iconic play. And how about Kansas City? First and goal from the Wishnev.
First and goal from the 10.
From the 9.9 yard line. No one scores from there.
Todd Wishnev is very big on when you have first and goal from the 9 or 10, that it is way less successful than people give it credit for.
Never, ever. If you're on the 25, matriculate to the 10.
Well, and that's what Xavier Worthy, he just ran out of bounds at the 10, yes. Which is like, dude, go for some contact. Try to get some yards. And the play call cannot be overemphasized how great it was.
Brilliant. And how
Mahomes,
brilliant.
You're running this. Nobody saw that coming.
How brilliant is Andy Reid? I mean, he gets his credit now because of all the wins. And obviously Mahomes is God. But like, there's an example. That play call is so strong. And here's a team. They just take guys off the scrap heap. Kareem Hunt. He's like running back number two with Cleveland, you know, it's like, and boom, dude's like on the bad part of his career. Juju Smith-Schuster, the guy looks like a fullback now, still successful.
But this is the thing that also does, I mean, so someone brought it up on Twitter, forgive me if it was Bruce Dobigan or somebody else, I apologize. Continuity in the NFL, right? I've talked about it over the years on this show. You cannot emphasize continuity enough. There is something about the nature of this sport particularly, right? In basketball, if you have Michael Jordan, you're going to be good, right? Baseball is an individual sport disguised as a team sport.
Yes.
But in the NFL, like, this is a marriage of 11 guys on both sides of the ball. To have the same coordinators and the same coaches year after year after year, that is a huge, right? Because I will say about Peyton Manning, my whole thing was, if Peyton Manning was drafted by Washington, he may never have become Peyton Manning because he would have had a different coordinator every year. I get it. He still had the Manning pedigree, but I just don't think he would have been. The other thing about it is when you have Patrick Mahomes, though, right, all of that other stuff that you just mentioned follows. So as long as you have this generational player, forget generational, all-timer, right, you can take guys off the scrap heap and make it work. I said this about Washington now. In, you know, Washington, what a ride it was. What a future. With
They took guys off the scrap heap with Austin Eckler and
all these guys with $90 million in cap space. When you have a Jaden Daniels now, free agents want to come to play for you.
Great
Before
point.
You had that, nobody wanted to come to D.C. to play for Daniel Snyder and that group. Now it's like T. Higgins is like, I'm hoping, right? T. Higgins could be like, I totally know where I'm going to play. But so it what I'm saying with all of that is when you are lucky enough to have a Mahomes or a Jaden Daniels, the rich beget rich things, right? So it's a snowball. It's a wonderful thing.
Pursuant to that, and I was wrong about this, I made the case that Detroit, Cleveland, and Buffalo would never win a Super Bowl ever going forward. And here's why. All right. Why, if you're a free agent, do you want to live in those cities? All right. If you can get comparable money somewhere else, I mean, people say, well, Minnesota. I'm like, well, you know what? If I'm a big O lineman, I can hunt and I can fish. I mean, you know, it's attractive to me. I don't understand how Cleveland is going to be an attractive landing spot for any free agent. Gilly, how much would I have to pay you to do your show from Cleveland? You know what? There's a price. Well, oh, there's a number, but it's a much higher number.
I love all of our listeners from Cleveland, so I'm not going to answer that question. How about that?
From Ohio, so.
Yes, you are from Ohio. But no, there's a point to what we're saying.
Southern Ohio, where we hate Cleveland. Sam Weich, we're not Cleveland.
We don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati. No, so I think there's a lot to that that we don't often talk about. By the way, as I'm talking about that, I'm thinking about the Chiefs and the Bills yesterday. Of course, the Chiefs only end up with Patrick Mahomes because the Bills traded that pick. So there's that, right? I want to get to the prop stuff here after the break. But I said earlier, your first reaction was you're taking the Eagles.
Yes,
why?
Because the analytics are like yards per play, old school analytics, just the stats say the Eagles are the better team. And the Eagles are awesome. The Eagles were bad in September when their wide receivers were hurt. Since then, they lost one game. Because they dropped the pass against your Washington
Devontae Smith
dropped the pass. So they had two bad games. They won by 5 and 6 against Jacksonville and somebody else in Carolina. All right. They had two Kansas City type games and they murdered everybody else. They won in Baltimore. They crushed the Bengals. They're like, well, the Bengals aren't any good. The Bengals would have been 10-7 if they would have beaten the Eagles, and they beat them by 17. They beat the Cowboys by like 28 twice. They beat the Giants by 28. This team is a juggernaut when they're healthy. Now, is Hurts healthy? A.J. Brown's healthy now. A.J. Brown was not healthy the 2 weeks before.
I only ask this because it's Patrick Mahomes. But because it's Patrick Mahomes, how dumb would you feel if Kansas City beats them?
Very.
How about the Super Bowl prop that actually has newfound value? We'll get into that next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, Stevie, you'll like this. In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horwitz, a former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSiN today. Use promo code VSiN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy and gain the edge in your trading game. That's BubbaTrading.com/VSiN. Promo code VSiN 500.
As a former actuary and analytics guy, I did not have the nickname Bubba on my bingo card for my analytics trading expert.
Did you ever have a nickname?
Fezzik.
Fezzik was your nickname. Okay. I want to get to something here that is very actionable. So, for those who are new to betting or newish, this is a big time of year, the Super Bowl, obviously, not just for football purposes, but for betting purposes, because sports books have hundreds of props that typically don't exist in a normal weekend game or normal Sunday game on the NFL schedule on a given week. And it started with the William Refrigerator Perry touchdown in Super Bowl 20, back when the 85 Bears had used Refrigerator Perry for offensive plays during the season. Mike Ditka had inserted him on some goal line plays. And so Jimmy Vaccaro had this prop: will William the Refrigerator Perry score in Super Bowl 20? Will he score a touchdown? And the prop, I think, was, I think it started at four, I want to say 40 to one, and got the yes got bet all the way down to plus minimal number, I believe.
Yeah, like down to 5 to 1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, William the Refrigerator Perry did score in Super Bowl 20 against the Patriots in the Bears blowout. By the way, Mike Ditka said afterwards, he obviously had nothing to do with the bet, but he said afterwards it was one of the biggest regrets, if not the biggest regret of his coaching life, because what it did in effect was denied Sweetness Walter Payton a touchdown in that game, which he regretted. But nonetheless, for those who bet it, that's when the Super Bowl prop frenzy, if you will, began. We're at Super Bowl 59, so that's damn near 40 years ago at this point, and it's grown into this amazing thing. Rufus Peabody first gained notoriety betting Super Bowl props and exploiting Super Bowl props. There was a big piece on him in the Washington Post that really sort of gained fame for him in this corner of the world. And so it does beg the question, Steve, that there are formulaic Super Bowl props, right? There's obviously some unique ones specifically tailored, like that Refrigerator Perry was, for specific circumstances. But generally, the majority of them are, you know, insert name of these two teams, but it's the same kind of props from year to year.
Yeah, the total in the game's 49, so I'll make the first quarter 9.75, the second quarter 14, the third quarter 10, the fourth quarter, you know, 13.5. Boom, it's all by the book.
So it begs the question then, what do we have this year that actually might be something we can exploit that the books will not necessarily capture?
There has been a fundamental shift in the NFL towards going for it on fourth down. And even the announcers, the square ball, old school announcers have come around to, hey, maybe we could go for this fourth down and 5 instead of punting the ball and losing. You know, that's a decision I might even make.
I think I'd go for this, Jim.
Yeah. As opposed to just knocking over your king and resigning in a chess game. I don't want to play anymore. Mike Tomlin style. But as long as the Steelers aren't in the Super Bowl, so you got to look at these fourth down conversions. And historically, it's hard to have a successful fourth down conversion. But things have changed. Now, with more and more teams going this past weekend, there were 10, count them 10, successful fourth down conversions. 4 for the losing team, 1 for the winning team. And so, if you think about it, what's the over-under going to be? I'm anticipating there'll be a prop. You have to pay vig on it. Will Kansas City have 1 successful fourth down conversion? Philly will probably be 1.5 because they famously go for it. But even so, I can only look towards playing the overs on the fourth down conversions, and this spills over into numerous other props pricings as well.
That's, I think that's even the more interesting part, because I think people are nodding their heads at what you're talking about. That's a great point, because obviously 40 years ago, our heads would have exploded if we had had this fourth down conversation. But even 2 years ago, right, this is a much different, fundamentally a much different sport and philosophies when it comes to going forward or not on fourth downs. What it spills into is equally interesting, as you say.
Yeah, so if there's more fourth down conversions and fourth down plays, what are there less of? Well, now I'm got to be very hesitant about third down conversions, because teams have figured it out, like the Eagles. Hey, if I need 5 yards on third and 5, I don't need 5 yards. I need 4 yards so I can run a play that will almost get me the first down, but that won't show up as a successful third down conversion. And I tell you what, if you're a fan of punts and field goals,
right?
I still don't know the name of the Washington. Oh no, the Washington punter, because he's a passer also.
Tress Way.
Yeah, Tress Way is a former child punt, pass, and kick champion, no doubt, who threw a pass that was nicer than anyone that I saw Caleb throw all year long on that fake punt.
See, I didn't do that, Caleb fans. That was him.
But certainly, I'd be very hesitant. In terms of number of field goals, number of punts, I'd be looking under. By the way, be careful, though, with the field goals, because we've been having bad weather games, all right? So the longest field goal, now we got perfect conditions in the dome. So I'd be a little careful about playing, you know, longest field goal and playing under the 48.5.
Longest field goal is different. That's right.
Yeah.
So maybe the number of field goals attempted is lower based on how the game is played, but longest field goal doesn't necessarily change, may even get longer in that same theory.
Yes. Although, you know, they oftentimes they put up field goals 3.5 and they put up longest field goal or total field goals attempted 4.5. boy, I really like the under 4.5 better. I mean, because the narrative's going to be all the, you know, the Philly kicker can't kick a lick, you know, and it's still hard to miss a field goal, even if you're a bad kicker, you know?
I also think that third down point you made, just in case anybody missed it, and I'm sure most of our audience got it, but I think that's a great point, which is, and especially with a team like Philadelphia, but also with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, but especially with Philadelphia, your play calling on third down, like that's the biggest thing in Kellen Moore's sort of trajectory here as the Eagles offensive coordinator. He gets it. He's like, nope, this is who we are and this is how we play football. A third and five, which in past years, maybe not for the Eagles last year, but in years two, three gone by, would have been, well, it's third out conversion. They're obviously going to punt if they don't gain a yard here. No, you will play call it with the fourth down in mind.
Exactly.
Not just end of game situations, always.
And this could spill over even into more plays that are runs. You can bet, you know, how many rush plays and how many pass plays there will be. And so obviously you're going to matriculate towards more rush plays. Look at that goal line stance where how many runs were the Eagles going to run before, you know, Washington finally said, I just give them a team touchdown, you know, after four penalties or whatever.
So I think all this is very interesting. Fourth downs, third downs, field goals, punts. Does it in any way change? I'm just riffing now. I'm just thinking. Last week we're on the show, and we say this every year. The prop that flummoxes new or newish bettors the most is the prop that states, will it, pardon me, except with the exception of extra points and 2-point conversions, will a team score three times in a row? And the yes is priced at like -170-ish. And to the average bettor, the newer bettor, they're like, what do you mean? These are two of the best teams in football, if not the two best teams. The likelihood of them scoring three times in a row is very low. How can that be the minus?
Going to go back and forth, back and forth.
Of course, should be minus.
Yeah.
But in fact, it is correctly priced. It happens all the time. Does this stuff that we're talking about in any way bother that?
It makes it less likely there'll be three straight scores. Just think about it. Field goals are outlawed.
That's what I'm thinking.
Now you got to score three straight touchdowns, and that's going to be a lot more difficult than, you know, getting those threes whenever you get into field goal range. I referenced this on Friday, but my favorite reference is indeed the Tennessee Rams, the close, low-scoring Super Bowl, 23-16 Rams, lands right on the number. Like, that's like the poster child if you saw that final score. Like, oh, I'm going to bet, you know, that there's not going to be three consecutive scores. Well, both teams scored three consecutive times in that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? 23-16, the one where the Titans famously, Kevin Dyson, 1 yard short. Was it Dyson who was 1 yard short? Yeah, Kevin Dyson, 1 yard short. Jones making the tackle for the Rams on that one. So I think all of this is very interesting. And the point being is that what we are saying, but what we are tacitly saying, but not actually explicitly saying is, that the books can't possibly, while these lines and these props have been calibrated from year after year because they're formulaic, they can't possibly price these correctly.
Yeah, another one is the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
So it's hard to have a 2-point conversion. We had like three of them attempted in the Bills game. So what's happened, the book has gotten out, and there's been a rules change on the kickoffs, because if you have a personal foul now on a touchdown, teams are like, well, I'm going for it. If I get the ball on the one,
that's right.
So even in the first half, you're going to see attempts that could happen. Both these coaches are going to go for a 2-point conversion from the one. So it's I would be terrified to bet that there wouldn't be a 2-point conversion.
Right. We saw it yesterday on more than one occasion where a team tried to go for it.
Buffalo failed twice. Kansas City succeeded. Final margin of victory, 3 points.
Oh. By the way, did you see some of the incoming you took on the whole, bet the Chiefs on the money line, take the Bills with the points? And then there were a couple people on Twitter like, what are you talking about? I didn't go to overtime. You got those?
I did not.
Yeah, no. I'm just curious. Steve Fez, that's great stuff, actually. Great information. And here's the thing. We used to have to wait for the props. They're out. Hundreds of them are already out at certain sports books. Not necessarily in Vegas, but...
Caesars is up.
Caesars is up. DraftKings up as well. We'll come back more with Fezzik on the other side here on A Numbers Game.